9:30 here on a Tuesday morning. It's KCIM Rewind. Sports director Jeff Blankman present and accounted for. Mason yes. Nealand just walked in the door. Thanks so much for showing up early there, man.
No, I had to start cutting it close.
You know, that's not something that we encourage, by the way.
Yeah. So, what did you say to me when I said cutting it close as you went by?
So I started doing the KC's job. Walking in 30 seconds before.
What if I start showing up at 9:30? I mean, my shift starts at 6 a.m., so not going to work that
way. Don't put that pressure on me.
So anyway, we got a great interview today. Of course, as we get ready for a very busy spring ahead, Drake relays are coming up a little bit later on this week. Man, we got state track is not that far away.
A month away.
And graduations and all of that. So it's going to get
weeks.
It's about to get crazy busy on all this scene. But we had to have time to talk to this guy here this morning on KCIM Sports Rewind. It is former Carroll High standout, former USD standout, former USD, and it pains me to say this, former USD men's assistant basketball coach Casey Kasperbauer joining us. And he is the brand new head coach of Upper Iowa University. Casey, first of all, congratulations on the job. It's killing me to see you not in vermilion anymore, though.
Yeah, thank you. It kills me sometimes as well, but obviously an opportunity I couldn't pass up. But I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm excited to talk to you guys today.
Yeah, 4 years as a standout player, 7 years as a coach. I mean, it feels like you just never left college, did it?
Yeah, a little bit. I've joked that I had a gap year in between playing and coaching at USD because I played for 4 years, as you mentioned. I went overseas and then I spent basically 8 months in Des Moines, and I was doing skill development training and stuff like that, just trying to figure out what, you know, my career looks like. And honestly, the director of ops spot at South Dakota kind of fell into my lap. I got lucky. Coach Todd Lee at the time got hired and was looking for basically a guy that that was me, a former player, a guy that wants to get into coaching, who's hungry to get better, who, you know, and so hit the ground running. And like you said, I mean, 11 years at Vermilion just seems kind of crazy to me. I'm 31 years old, so over a third of my life was spent in Vermilion, and awesome experiences there. Can't say enough positive things. Obviously, I'm biased because I am an alum, but I just appreciate everything Vermilion is about and the campus, the community, the support that we had there kind of can't be understated. And I loved my experience in Vermilion.
Casey, Jeff Blankman here. First of all, congratulations again. You know, it's odd to not see you up at USD anymore. But you talk about your time there, but you're also now a new father. You and Lindsay had a baby here recently and stuff. So how tough was that and leaving the place where you said you've spent over a third of your life at? How tough of a decision was that?
No, it was tough. We did kind of think, though, if there's a time to move, there is a world where this time is better than, you know, when our daughter is in school and has made her friends and has started, you know, making those core memories. And not to say that we wouldn't move again, obviously, if other better opportunities come about, we always have to think about that as well. But I think more than it being a difficult decision, it's just been really hard to keep our heads above water the last month. So I think I texted my dad that, the other day. He's like, what's going on? I said, I'm just trying to keep my head above water right now. So right now it's, you know, I'm going back and forth from Fayette to Vermilion. You know, Lindsay has a full-time job and we have a little 5-month-old running around trying to put everything in her mouth. So it's fun. It's a fun challenge. You know, we knew when I signed up for this career, and you hear it all the time, but the coaching world is just crazy. And in the snap of a finger, you know, the whole coaching carousel can begin. And this is just one step along the way, but we're really excited. You know, Lindsay played at UNI, and so we're familiar with this area. And we're 45 minutes from Cedar Falls, living in Fayette or being in Fayette. So there was some familiarity too. But yeah, it's always a family decision, and Lindsay's super supportive, so it was an easy one.
Tell me how it all came about. Did you hear about the opening? Did they apply? Did they come to you? How did it all happen?
Yeah, so kind of an open book with this, with how it all came about. But Brooks McCallum, the old head coach here at Upper Iowa, I had heard his name in the mix for a lot of different jobs. And obviously he took Missouri Western State, but his name was in there for a lot of open jobs. And Brooks is a friend of mine. Brooks is actually the first person to offer me a job when I was done playing. So I've known him for over a decade. And I just lobbed a text out to him essentially. And I said, if you get a job, would you mind throwing my name in there for Upper Iowa? He said, of course. I think it was the next day he took a job. and then that evening I got an email from the athletic director, Rick Hartzell here. And he said, you know, if you'd be interested in the job, can you call me at 9 a.m. tomorrow? And I called him. It moved super quickly. I called him. He explained the job. He explained that they're interested in me. And I think 5 days after that, I was on campus. I got offered the job. And the very next day, I took the job. So it moved a lot quicker than most head coaching positions go. And usually it kind of gets drawn out. It takes till after the Final Four. Well, this was done not officially after the before the Final Four, but unofficially it was done before the Final Four. So it was very quick. It was maybe too quick for us to kind of process it all at once, but again, super excited and a no-brainer decision for sure.
Casey, it sounds to me like the transition should go fairly easy. You know the program, you knew the former coach, and you're walking into a program that was 21-9 a year ago, so there's some talent on board.
There is. You know, I think it's a both-and situation where I do have familiarity with a lot of the players on the team, too, because I've recruited the region forever. You know, Vermilion's not that far away, and I recruited Iowa, and 18 of the 22 players on the roster last season were Iowans, so I knew of nearly all of them. At the same time, 5 of the top 6 players are gone, so we do have a lot of usage, a lot of efficiency to replace. Now, I will say that with the other guys, mainly, you know, 7 through 12 or 13 on the roster this past year, there's going to be opportunities for them to step up into those roles where now, you know, a couple of them can compete for starting positions or just bigger roles. So I say that to say there is still a lot of work to do from a personnel standpoint. But as you mentioned, Brooks has laid the foundation. He did an awesome job, multiple 20-win seasons, and has kind of found the formula for the way you have to play, but also the way you have to recruit in a unique town like Fayette.
Casey, you mentioned that, of course, you're moving there and it's all gone very quickly, but you've got to quickly adjust to being from an assistant coach to a head coach, deciding what you want to do. You're not going to run the same program as the previous coach. So what things are you looking at that you might do a little differently and just do differently as a new head coach?
Yeah, for sure. Like you mentioned, I mean, I'm sitting in a different chair now, so you realize quickly it hits you in the face that, okay, you have to make these decisions. For the last 7 years, I've just been making suggestions. I never really made a couple decisions, but not the big ones. So it's a challenge. It's really, really fun. I mean, I've prepared myself for this moment for a really long time. So that's exciting. But to your question, I think, you know, we'll play faster. I really like the idea of getting up and down the floor. That might require you to play more players too, which I do like that idea. Give everyone a shot or almost everyone a shot on the team to play, especially early on. Defensively is probably where it gets to be a lot different from what Upper Iowa did last year, as well as what South Dakota did last year. A lot of on both sides, a lot of pressing, a lot of playing, you know, trying to play fast on defense too, and trying to force turnovers. And based on what I've seen this spring from the personnel, and then studying the GLVC, the conference that we're in, I think you got to have a little bit bigger guards. And so we're going to have bigger guards with the ability to switch. And I really think you have to be able to switch like sizes, and the switchability of your team will keep you out of rotations defensively. And I think offensively, I think the benefit of me being on the offense side of the ball the last 5 years is you realize how you want to attack different defenses. And I'm basically doing the reverse of that on the defense. I'm trying to figure out how to not be in disadvantaged situations. So staying out of rotations and just challenging our players to guard the ball will really help us defensively.
Hey, Casey, Mason Nealon here. And my kind of first memory of getting to know you was you coaching a bunch of me and my friends when we were about 10 years old at Carroll High School. Can you kind of walk us through, has head coaching kind of been the end goal here or kind of something that's been in your mind throughout your kind of basketball career into later coaching?
Yeah, you know, I've been around coaching my whole life because my dad coached me in everything. I mean, you name it, if I played it, he probably coached me. I was trying to think about if there was a sport that he didn't coach me in. And the only thing is maybe soccer, but he might have coached me there too. I don't know. So I've been around coaching my whole life. It's been something, you know, I wanted to play for as long as I possibly could. And then you kind of have this awakening in college that, okay, my college career is almost over. My playing career, that means it's probably over pretty soon. What's next? And that's when I really decided, like, it's coaching. Now, I didn't know it would happen where I would come back to South Dakota in 2 years or whatever after I got done playing, but I do know I was passionate about learning. I do know I prided myself while I was a player for being a high basketball IQ player. So it all kind of added up and made sense. And I said this in another interview I did last week, but the one thing I can honestly say is I don't feel like this is work. I don't feel like I'm rolling into an office job every day and like it's miserable or anything like that. This is really fun for me. I get to be around basketball every day. I mean, and get paid for it. It's pretty crazy. So I've loved it. I've loved being around sports. I love watching basketball as a fan. I love watching it to learn as well. So just the lifelong learner in me just wants to always coach.
Casey, I know you got to put a staff together. How's that going right now? And I've got to ask this because the moment we announced that you had become the head coach at Upper Iowa, I had people texting me, is your dad joining the staff?
Your dad just moved to Sioux Falls. Your dad, mom, and dad, are they moving to Fayette?
No, I offered my dad a spot, and he needed way more money, he said. So I don't know. I do. So to answer your first question with the staff, I get to hire two assistants. I feel good about. We actually announced one of them last week, Sam Nicholson, who's from Blair, Nebraska, and worked with me at South Dakota. He was my right-hand man when I was director of ops. So wanted to have familiarity there, and then I get to hire a graduate assistant. So unless my dad wants to go back to school, we can pay for his master's. It's not going to be my dad that I hire, but no, I'll hire somebody that's fresh out of college in the GA spot and someone who wants to get their master's for free but also get into coaching. And I've interviewed a few candidates, and we're close, you know. The one thing at this level I'm learning, you know, at the Division I level, you can have summer access, meaning you can work out your players all summer, and you can mandate it. And here at Upper Iowa and at all Division IIs, you can't do that. So you essentially have summers off. So spring semester ends this week at Upper Iowa. So I'm not in a rush to hire the GA because we'd hire him and then the summer would be off. So I'm going to take my time and make sure I get to know the candidates. And but we'll hire someone, again, familiar with the area and passionate about trying to be a coach, just like I was when I was hired in 2018 as the ops guy at USD.
Now, Casey, had some really good coaches in the college ranks. You played for, Dave Boots, you played for him, Craig Smith, you had Todd Lee, and now Eric Peterson. What do you draw from those guys that you're going to put into effect at Upper Iowa?
Yeah, honestly, that's my coaching philosophy in a nutshell, is I'm going to steal everything I like from all those people, and then I've generated my own ideas, and that's my philosophy. So I could go right down the list. Coach Boots, probably I had the best relationship with in terms of, you know, he was the one that recruited me out of high school. So there's an instant draw there, and just the way that he wanted you to succeed in life, and he stayed in touch with me. Most of the conversations I had with Coach Boots were not about basketball whatsoever. He was asking about my family a lot. He was asking me about Carol. You know, he was asking me about my childhood and how I grew up and all that stuff. So I learned that, and I'm taking that from him. Craig Smith, obviously elite motivator. He worked his way up all the way to the Big 12 with Utah this past season before he got let go, but a super successful coach that's played NCAA tournament games. And the way that he was able to get everybody to buy in and play really hard. We won so many games under Craig when we were under-talented, and we just played harder than the other team. And the way that he's able to get the most out of each player. Coach Peterson, tireless worker, really good recruiter, super connected. The connections that I had from him, I mean, internationally especially, he's connected, I feel like, in every country in Europe. And then he's connected in Australia and New Zealand as well. So he's helped me be connected with all those people, agents, handlers, high school coaches, AAU coaches, you name it. He's worked so hard to cultivate those relationships. And, I mean, the amount of time he spent on preparing for games, preparing for practices, and then getting creative with our budget parameters, I'm feeling that from him. And then Coach Lee, I feel like it was just a master class in coaching every single day from Coach Lee. X's and O's wise, he's seriously, I think he's a genius. I mean, the way he's able to pick apart a matchup, pick apart coverages, and then just exploit the mismatch every single game. You know, he was Coach of the Year my first year as a full-time assistant. He was Coach of the Year, and we set a lot of school records under him, but really tough, really hard-nosed, super competitive, but more than anything, just the way that he watches the film and explains to you what he's seeing is remarkable. So, like I mentioned, stealing a little bit from everybody and then using my own ideas, but I've had some awesome people to work for and to play for.
Casey, have you been able to hit the ground running pretty well with recruiting? I know that's big, trying to develop a team that you want to be able to play your style.
Yeah. I have. It goes back to the advantage of recruiting this area already, is I had already started to talk to them about potential options at South Dakota, you know? So then when I took the Upper Iowa job, it was, hey, if you don't get the Division I opportunity that you're looking for, I've got an opportunity here. And for a lot of these players, it was closer to home than South Dakota was, because they're Eastern Iowa kids, or they're Western Illinois kids, or they're Western Wisconsin kids. Those are the areas I've recruited. So, you know, it's difficult from the standpoint of just the numbers game. I've got to sign a lot of players and get a lot of players committed, and we still have a lot of work to do. But easy from the standpoint of I had the relationships with a lot of their coaches, a lot of their AAU teams, coaches, like everybody I've already had a relationship with. So we've signed two really good players from Iowa. We actually have two coming to campus today. So hopefully we sign these two that are coming to campus today. And, you know, we're getting commitments and interest kind of every week. So it's, again, not something I'm patient with, but I'm not going to rush it either. So it's been a fun transition that way.
You know, you've been a part of so many seasons tipping off and all the nerves that go along with that. This is going to be your first one as a head coach. Do you have any idea what you're going to be feeling at that point and what you're going to have to try to control at that point?
No, I have no idea. I'll be nervous, but I'm nervous for every game. I mean, I was nervous no matter what role I played on the team. I mean, when I was director of operations, all my job was for that first year was to make sure the bus arrived in time and that the food was warm. And I was still nervous for the game. So now it's probably going to be a little bit more ramped up, but that's where you just trust your preparation. You trust the process and the work that you have put in up until that point. I think our first game is November 15th, and we'll play some scrimmages before then, so we'll have an idea what the shape of our team looks like. But, you know, no, it'll be I kind of like being nervous. It's fun. It kind of, you know, pressure kind of helps me prepare and helps me perform, so I'm looking forward to it.
Casey, before we let you go, first, we appreciate all the time. Second, did want to catch up. Lindsay, your little five-month-old daughter, how's the family?
Oh, they're good. I appreciate you asking. Actually, I should say this. They're great. Carter, my daughter, did not sleep good last night, though. So we got to do some work there when I get back to Vermilion tomorrow. But no, they're great. Lindsay loves her job. She's going to work through the summer, so we'll spend this summer in South Dakota again. And daughter's killing it. No offers yet, but we're going to get to work on that pretty soon. So. Yeah, we're great. So I appreciate you asking.
You know what I loved seeing is just after you got named, you put it out there on social media, and Upper Iowa did too. All the outpouring of the former players, I recognized a lot of names. I mean, you have a lot of support from all those guys. That's got to make you feel really good.
No, it makes me feel great. And honestly, it's just a testament to the type of people we've been able to coach and I've been able to coach and be around. And we always pride ourselves as coaches in recruiting good people first and good students and people that will be great ambassadors in the community. And I had so many fond memories and I'll carry with me with from my experience in Vermilion and USD. But yeah, like you said, just the support, number one in USD, but also just in the Carroll and the Northwest Iowa area, so many people that follow people's career and want the best for one another. It's awesome to be a part of.
I think that says a lot about the coach, too,
yes.
that all those former players, again, tweeted back at you and things like that. So we wish you the absolute best of luck, of course. I was seriously considering naming you my least favorite sports person of the week because you left USD high and dry. You know, come on. You can't leave my Yotes.
I know it. They'll find somebody to replace me that'll be just as good, if not better. And,
Nope. I'm sorry. I'm gonna disagree with you on that one. There's nobody better.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate you guys covering me. I know since the day I left Carroll, you guys have interviewed me nearly every year, probably every year, and I appreciate the coverage that you guys provide for not only myself but a lot of the current and former players at Carroll and Kemper and the surrounding areas.
Well, tell your dad hello for us and tell him to get off his duff. Get back there in the coaching ranks for us.
No doubt. We can all say hi to him right now because he's probably listening. So,
no doubt. So, I, Casey, thank you so much. Good luck. And yeah, we'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
Yeah, thanks again, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Casey Kasperbauer once again joining us here this morning. Can't think of anybody who's more deserving of an opportunity as a head coach, a guy who has put in his time, probably one of the most intelligent players that I've ever covered.
Yeah. Just a great person and also a great player, and I think he's going to turn out to be a great coach. I've always said that everything his dad had his hands in turned out to be really, really good, and I can see Casey having that exact same type of future. He just understands how to get the best out of everybody.
And he knows how to work to get it, too. So terrific stuff as he moves on to Upper Iowa. And he even coached you as a 10-year-old? What's that?
Well, we were at Coach Beeson for Carroll High always puts on this little Tigers camp. And so he had Casey come in, and he sat us on the wall, and he talked us through the basics of basketball and kind of coached us. And so it's kind of a full circle moment to him coaching us when he was in college. So that was back when he used to play in college. Mm-hmm. And then now being a head coach at Upper Iowa, it was like, wow, it's been a while since I've seen him or talked to him, but that was kind of my first memory of him.
Yeah, my biggest memory of Casey was that sub-state game where he just went off. It was over at Ames High School. I hit, like 8 or 9 three-pointers in the first half or something like that. It was just insane how on fire he was.
Yeah, for me, it's not one game. It's the fact that you heard him say he liked pressure. Every time there was a big moment in a game when he was in high school, he wanted the ball because he wanted that pressure. He wanted to be the guy to have to make a play, whether it was make a shot or get a teammate open. Casey thrived in those pressure situations.
If you're putting him out, Rushmore, of just Carroll High basketball players together, Casey's on it.
He is,
for
absolutely.
Sure. All right, that is, once again, Casey Kasperbauer joining us this morning. We're back with more Rewind coming up.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
It is KCIM Sports Rewind. Of course, Casey Kasperbauer joining us a little bit earlier. You guys want a trivia question here real quick?
Sure.
All right.
We'll see how bad we can sound.
Well, see, we're going to talk about baseball now.
Okay.
Something you've probably not paid any attention to.
A little bit. My bullpen's terrible. So.
Yeah. Normal.
Not much better for the White Sox.
You don't know terrible until you're a Twins fan. We're barely beating the White Sox, for crying out loud. That's how bad we are.
That's his team, by the way.
I know.
Sox are terrible.
Yeah, and the Twins are next to terrible. They're terrible adjacent. So we got the bottom two teams in the terrible AL Central. So American League generally has gotten the better of the National League when it comes to like fast starts for teams, things right. like that. There are five. There's more National League teams than American League teams that are up to 14 wins on the year. Give me the teams that have 14 wins or more. There's five NL, two AL.
Okay.
So how close have you been following? Let's start with the American League. There's only two.
Yankees?
Yankees are one of them. Yes, that's correct.
I have no idea who the second is. I'm going to guess Baltimore just because they routed the Yankees the other day.
Nope, not okay. The Baltimore Orioles.
Angels.
No, not the Angels.
Okay. They were leading the West for a while.
Were they?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
They've been cellar dwellers like
for a long time.
Yeah, like your White Sox.
His White Sox, not mine. I'm a Reds fan.
Second one. You want the second one?
Yeah.
The Detroit Tigers.
Okay.
That is insane to me.
They had the two guys they drafted in like 18 and 19. I can't think of the names right now, but they were the number one picks those years that are really off to good starts.
All right. Five NL teams have 14 wins or more.
Dodgers, Cubs.
Dodgers, Cubs. Yep. The Cubs are in there. Which, shockingly, the Cubs are there. They have played literally nonstop. The Dodgers, the Padres,
right.
The Arizona Diamondbacks. And they have just been playing some of the best teams in the National League. And they're 14 wins now.
And you probably named one of them there in the Padres.
Yep, Padres are another one. So that's three. That's the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the Padres. Who else?
I'm going to throw Houston in it because they're usually good. But
nope.
Yeah,
Houston is an American League team. Well,
that's right. Yeah, no? They did switch over.
Yeah.
I'm still used to them being in the Reds division 25 years ago. So
yeah, there's two more. Another one out west.
Another one out west.
Which surprised me.
San Francisco?
San Francisco.
Really?
Is a 14-win
team. Wow.
And there's another one in the east.
Not the Mets.
The Mets.
Really?
Yeah. And the Arizona Diamondbacks have 13 wins.
Okay.
So
the West is really tough.
Yeah, the Cubs have had that steady American or National League West diet so far. And they got another two-game series with the Dodgers coming up tonight. But there you go. They're 14-win teams.
Okay.
So five in the National League, two in the American League only.
I'm glad you told me Detroit. I probably would have taken a while to get there, even though I just read an article the other day about the fact that they've been off to a really hot start this year.
I would have thought Cleveland, maybe.
Yeah.
Because they've always gotten a more talent than you give them credit for.
Yeah. Didn't they route the Yankees as well the other day?
Anybody who routes the Yankees is good in my book.
That's why I bring it up.
Not that Yankees fan. So Drake relays are coming up at the end of this week. That seems insane that's this fast.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We've got two local kids that qualified this year. Cal Hayden from Coon Rapids Baird will be in the high school boys shot put. That'll be Thursday afternoon at 3:00. And then luckily, right after that, Trayvon Keeley from Peyton Jourdan will be in the boys high school high jump. And that's at 4:30 on Thursday afternoon. So those two events would go back to back for us.
Only two?
Just two. It's hard to believe that we only had two kids qualify for the Drake Relays.
Because there's been some years where we've had quite a few kids that qualify.
Yeah, yeah. I was went through all the qualifiers, I think it was Sunday morning, and I actually went through it a second time. I hope I didn't miss anybody. No coaches have called and yelled at me or emailed me, or no parents have, messaged me and tell me that I missed anybody. So I went through every single qualifying high school stuff, what they posted that had qualified twice on Sunday morning before I posted our list because I didn't want to miss anybody. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just two.
Bad news is it's not looking real good. For the weather forecast on Thursday.
Typical Drake Relays. Cold, windy, rainy, it's usually windy and rainy for sure, which makes it generally a little chilly.
Well, with just the two field events, they'll get that wrapped up on Thursday. So there will not be any local events that happen on Friday or Saturday.
Right.
So you guys are not going to spend time freezing down there on the Blue Oval.
Thursday, though, is supposed to rain, if I understand correct.
Yeah, 90% chance of rain, I think, on Thursday, at least for us anyway here.
Do you know any rain gear?
I got some rain gear.
Okay.
Bring it all along, man. Bring every bit of it that you possibly can. So, other headlines going on for the spring sports season?
Well, as much as it pains me, and it does pain me to say this, Bill Winger reached out to me today to remind me that the Iowa Hawkeye banquet that Mason will be going to next Tuesday is going to be over in Arcadia. And it hurts to have to say that.
Yeah, and Ben McCullough so far not part of the coaching staff, but they never they might add.
Right. Yeah, they may add him. Who knows?
Yeah, that's so far it's been kind of the usual suspects.
Right.
Of course, longtime coaches at the University of Iowa, and they got Gary Dolphin there too. So reach out to Bill or anybody that iClub members that have those tickets.
Well, I got a little plan for Jeff here. I didn't want to spoil it yet, but I'm going to get a picture with Kirk Ferentz, make sure to print it out and put it on our desk, and I'll keep a couple extra so that when that one goes missing, I can keep slipping them into the car that we drive and on our desk and everything, just so it's a little reminder for him.
You know, I have said this before. I'm not a Hawk fan. Anybody that knows me knows that. But I like and respect Kirk Ferentz. Back years ago when I used to go over to the event before, we always had an assistant that's a Hawkeye fan. Kirk would walk in and he would remember you and he would talk to you. Mm-hmm. And he was a classy guy. So as much as I'm not a Hawkeye, a picture of Kirk Ferentz isn't going to burn me too bad.
You know, those guys are successful for a reason.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
That is part of it. That's a big part of it, is remembering those people. And boy, when you meet them, you feel like, wow, this guy even knows my name.
It probably didn't hurt that he came over with a certain former men's basketball coach over there that was so aloof and such a word that I can't use on the radio. That
we're talking Steve Alford.
Yes, it made Kirk feel like he was like, you know, the greatest guy on the world, because the other guy was completely the opposite.
Well, that happens. Sometimes it's who you stand next to rather than who you are. Right. That is KCIM Sports Rewind for this week. Once again, you can catch a podcast this and the interview with Casey Kasperbauer, of course, on the website coming up here in just a couple more minutes.